November 27th, Thanksgiving Eve. Welcome into Studio 2. I'm Cherry Gregg.
I love the way you said that.
You do?
Yeah, Thanksgiving Eve. I really wish I had your voice for that specific
Thanksgiving
sentence.
Thanksgiving Eve.
Because you're filling me with gratitude. I'm Avi Wolfman-Arendt.
Aww.
And today's show is all about the G word, gratitude. Of course, it's Thanksgiving Eve, mm-hmm. as Cherry just said. And today, this hour of radio is going to be about you, the listener. We're opening up the phone lines and the email lines, I guess. And we're just going to ask you what you're grateful for this year. And we hope that by engaging in this project, this activity together, we're all going to feel a little better.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have spirits. Yes.
We're going to have the right mindset going into Turkey Day tomorrow. So we just want to know this hour, what are you grateful for this year? I'm going to share a couple things that I'm grateful for.
Yes.
But really, it's about you, right? The mm-hmm. listener. 888-477-9499 is our number. Our email is studio2@whyy.org.
So a few years ago, Avi, mm-hmm. I started a gratitude journal where every day I have to name five things I'm grateful for. And they can be very small because some days that's all you got.
Yeah.
It's something super small, like I can breathe with both nostrils. Sometimes it's only one nostril.
That's right.
Right.
But cold, yeah.
Whatever it is, you know, you just point to the thing. Sometimes it's small, sometimes it's big. So for
this helps you.
Yeah. And I think this will help our listeners. Like if it's something big, we want to hear that. If it's something small, we want to hear that too.
I have a couple of very small things.
Okay.
That I'm excited to share.
Oh.
If we have time. I'm not going to do it now.
This okay.
This is a tease. It's a tease.
You're so good at that.
888-477-9499 again is the number. 888-477-9499. Get on the phone right now. Share with us what you're grateful for. Like I said before, this hour is all about you.
All about
we
you.
Will have a couple experts with us mm-hmm. to kind of just be our gratitude guides.
And our ground. Well, they'll ground us in gratitude.
They'll
yes.
ground us in gratitude. Our yes. grounded gratitude guides. Our triple G's. But it's really, it's about the listeners.
Ooh,
the
I
big
love
L. 888-477-9499. Also, by the way, today we are going to do our DJ of the day.
Because we're off tomorrow.
We're off tomorrow.
Because of Thanksgiving. Yeah.
We usually do that Thursday. So we're mm-hmm. going to end the show this week with a song picked by one of you. I guess the theme of the song could be gratitude. There are a couple of very obvious gratitude songs, and I will be impressed if perhaps you can nominate one that's not so obvious that I wasn't anticipating. So email us, studio2@whyy.org, yeah. with your DJ of the day pick for today.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to here because our folks have a pretty good, you know, yeah. discology or whatever you want to call
mental
it.
Mental discology.
Yeah, yeah, and they come up with some great songs. I've been impressed every single
yeah.
week.
And by the way, you got to get those in by 12:30 for producer Paige. So studio2@whyy.org with your song picks for today.
Yeah.
Trio of local news
Trio
stories.
Trio of local news stories. First one is, you know, we've been talking about the Sixers arena for a while, and there have been some developments on the Sixers Place project. The team has agreed to pay for transit passes for all season ticket holders for 1 year. But now, in light of the SEPTA fiscal crisis, a key lawmaker to that deal wants them to do a whole lot more.
Hmm.
That key lawmaker is Mark Squilla, the councilman who represents the district that includes Market East, where the new arena, if approved by council, would be built. Now, Squilla wants the Sixers to pay for transit passes for all ticket holders for the first year. And then he wants them to continue paying for the passes every year until the team reaches its public transit ridership goal of 40%.
So 40% of people going to the game would take
using
SEPTA.
Or
a concert, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so they promised that. They've said that that is their goal. And Squilla says, until that happens, I want you guys to pay for the transit passes for folks until then. Now, this is becoming a sticking point, though, in the negotiations for the arena. And we've talked about this crisis at SEPTA, where they have this $279 million budget hole. So, you know, Governor Josh Shapiro, if you've been watching the news, he swooped in, found about $153 million
mm-hmm.
That he sort of like moved from highway projects over to SEPTA to save them some time until the legislature, you know, comes up with a permanent solution. But so the city wants to help. And so they're using the Sixers arena to kind of help fill a little bit of that budget hole and hopefully help, you know, boost slumping ridership on SEPTA.
Right, but that would be many years down the road.
Exactly,
I don't know how much that would.
But they're trying to include SEPTA in this,
sure,
and trying to really push on this, and so everybody's talking about SEPTA.
Well, so the big question in my mind is, will people take SEPTA to a downtown arena? Because otherwise, mm-hmm, a downtown arena is just not viable. And the way I look at it is this, because I've had a lot of people in private conversations say they don't believe people would ever take SEPTA to a game, and I say to them, well, look. This works in many cities. Madison Square Garden, mm-hmm, Barclays Center in Brooklyn, TD Arena in Boston, I can't remember if it's Verizon or whatever the heck it's called now in DC. Mm-hmm. So there are downtown arenas on the East Coast that are viable because people take public transit to those games. So I do think it can work. Will it work in Philadelphia in a situation where SEPTA is really squeezed and crunched?
Yeah, and they need to find a way. I mean,
because they have to run extra trains.
Exactly.
I mean, it's logistically, it's very challenging. Mm-hmm. So I look at it as it can work because it does work in other cities. Mm-hmm. Will it work in Philadelphia? Well, we have our own issues to grapple with.
And they're trying to put their finger on the scale and force the team to step up and really, really strongly encourage people to use SEPTA. So
I strongly encourage you,
if they agree,
to check out this story in The Enquirer that I love this morning, mm-hmm, by Zoe Greenberg. So she went to a very special potluck. Let me tell you about this potluck. It was a pre-Thanksgiving potluck.
Mm-hmm.
It was held by the staff of the Atwater Kent Collection, which is also known as Philadelphia's Attic. This is a collection of roughly 130,000 objects from Philadelphia's past. And the staffers of the Atwater Kent, they had a potluck based on old recipes that they found in this archive. So there was some very weird dishes at this potluck.
I saw the pictures. That's all I'll just say. I saw the photos.
So there was grape nut muffins. How's that sound to you?
Not delicious.
Something called chicken jelly that came from
not
a company
delicious.
Called
Does not
Colburn's,
sound delicious.
Which is a Philly company that sold spices and seasonings all over the city in the early 1900s. It looks like sort of gelatinous
meats,
chicken soup in a loaf
with
pan.
Vegetables.
Yeah. It's very interesting. I like the story of the Enquirer.
We're not selling this very well.
No, but it's a fun read. And it's fun to, I do like old recipes. And I found a few for you, Cherry. Okay.
Okay.
This is from the Philadelphia Enquirer 60 years ago, 1964. They ran a column right before Thanksgiving about alternative Thanksgiving dishes you could try in 1964.
Mm-hmm.
I want your thumbs up or thumbs down on these, okay?
Okay.
Pears filled with sweet cherry relish. Big down.
Big down. Relish of cherry.
Okay. Second recipe. Pineapple acorn squash.
No.
Big down. Okay. Let's see if we can find
one. Acorns?
Okay. No, acorn squash. You're not eating acorns.
Okay.
You ever seen an acorn squash?
I thought there was going to be some squash and some acorns.
No.
Okay,
no,
never
no,
mind.
No, no. You're not growing
squash.
An oak tree in your kitchen.
Okay. I thought it was like three different.
All right.
My
how about
bad.
This one? How about this one? Pumpkin flan. No pumpkin pie, pumpkin flan.
I don't like flan, but
oh,
I do like
man.
Pumpkin.
Oh, man. 0 for 3. One more. Sweet potato casserole.
I think that was
there
be
we go.
I'm
there
actually
we go.
Making a sweet 60
potato
casserole
years ago.
For tomorrow. There you go.
That was alternative Thanksgiving 60 years ago, according to
the
Enquirer.
By the way, I had to say, because I read that article in the Enquirer about Atwater Kent. By the way, someone said that the chicken jelly tastes like, quote, cold, hard chicken soup.
Yummy. All right, let's do one more story now about Thanksgiving food
goodness.
Traditions. This was a story from the New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
The New York Times did a series where they talked to a bunch of very famous people about their Thanksgiving traditions and tips. And one of them mm-hmm. that caught our eye was a Thanksgiving tradition from Bucks County native Richard Kind. He grew up in Yardley. Do you know Richard Kind, who's on Spin City, mm-hmm. Curb Your Enthusiasm?
I Googled him, and I was like, oh, Richard Kind.
Very distinctive voice. Let's actually play a clip of his voice so people can remember who Richard Kind is. Because once you hear the voice, you know exactly who he is. All right, let's hear Richard Kind.
Hello, Rosie. I'm just great, great, great.
So good to see you.
Thank you. Good to see you.
You're so funny in every single show you're on.
You are so nice to say it.
Do you like living in New York now?
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it here.
Did you grow up here?
Bucks County, Pennsylvania. And then I lived in... Who? No. Pensbury High? No, okay.
You could get a ride home?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Sure.
I love it.
He's great.
He's
so funny.
He's so great.
So for 25 years now, Richard Kind the day after Thanksgiving, has been meeting up with his old friends from Bucks County and their extended families at DiLorenzo's Tomato Pies in Yardley. He says about 30 people now get together the day after Thanksgiving at this shop in Yardley, and they gorge on tomato pies.
That's a nice
day
tradition.
After Thanksgiving. Do you have a day after Thanksgiving tradition?
When I grew up, we used to always do Black Friday, like get up the crack of dawn and go shopping. Oh. And I told you about the pulling match I had over George Foreman Grill back in the 90s. Won't share that with you guys. But and now
who got the grill? Did you get the grill?
Of course. Come on. Who are you talking about?
Come on now.
But now we kind of, you know, drink spiked eggnog and put the Christmas decorations
so
up.
So you don't do the get up early and shop thing anymore?
Not anymore. Now we do it online.
Yep. Click, 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 click.
And how about you?
Day after, you know, just do the leftovers on a sandwich. Everyone makes their own sandwiches with the leftovers.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that really counts, but we do that every day after Thanksgiving.
Until the leftovers are gone.
Well, we don't finish. Usually it takes more than one day.
Yeah.
We can't do that all on Friday. Mm-hmm. That's a whole weekend project.
Yeah, that is.
But we get started with the sandwiches for lunch on Friday.
I love it. I love tradition. And that's why I love Thanksgiving.
My favorite holiday.
Yeah.
Oh, kid you not. Because
you
my
love
favorite
food.
I love food.
And family.
I love family.
Yeah.
And I just, to me, it's just like the most relaxing, indulgent, warm holiday.
I love it. And so we want to talk about gratitude today. So
I'm
what are you? I am too. So what are you grateful for this year? Do you need some advice on how to find gratitude? Call us 888-477-9499 or email studio2@whyy.org. We're grateful for you, and we'll see you on the other side of this break.
No matter what happens in Washington, the NPR Politics Podcast is here for you. For the latest news, insights, and analysis from the election and beyond, listen to the NPR Politics Podcast.
And welcome back to Studio 2. I'm Avi Wolfman-Arendt.
And I'm Cherry Gregg. It's the time of the year again when we go inward. Think for a minute. And we ask ourselves, what am I grateful for? One of our producers, Andreas Copes, talked to some folks in a senior apartment community about what they're grateful for. Let's hear from Michael Palombaro, one of the residents here in Philadelphia.
I've outlived everyone in my family, so I'm grateful to be alive. I tested positive for HIV 37 years ago, so I'm very grateful that I've survived so far with HIV, and looking forward to possibly living till the cure. I've lost so many friends, but I still have wonderful friends that really love me, and I'm so grateful for them.
What would you say there are some people out there who just feel lost at the moment and there's nothing to be grateful for? Do you have a piece of advice?
There's always things to be grateful for. I know when you get really down, you might lose sight of it. So my suggestion is every day, make a gratitude list so that you'll see in black and white what you have to be grateful for. I used to do that, you know, and write it down because I went through a really serious sad time because of all the deaths. I was grieving all the time. And, you know, I forgot what was wonderful. You know, life doesn't have to be perfect to be wonderful.
Well put by Michael. Mm-hmm. We live in a busy world, Cherry. So it is easy to forget about the things we take for granted, like health, friends, and family. So today we invite you, our listeners at home, to join us for a type of Thanksgiving dinner. But of gratitude, no turkey, no pumpkin pie, but words of wisdom and joy. So let us know, what are you grateful for right now? Our number is 888-477-9499. You can also email studio2@whyy.org.
And Avi, we are not alone here. Let's bring in our gratitude experts and friends of Studio 2. With us on this Thanksgiving Eve, our Psychology Today writer, Susie Pileggi-Pawelski, and her husband, James Pawelski, who is a professor and director of education at the University of Pennsylvania's Positive Psychology Center. And together, They wrote the book Happy Together, Using the Science of Positive Psychology to Build Love That Lasts. I love the title of that book, by the way. Susie, James, welcome back to Studio 2.
Thank you. We're so happy to be here today.
Thank you so much. Great to join you.
Yes. So we've got some great emails and calls already coming in. But before we get to them, I just wanted to ask you both, like, we're about to do this activity together, talking about what we're all grateful for with our audience. What is the psychological effect of going through a process like the one we're about to go through? Does it actually make us more grateful, happier? What do we know about that?
Absolutely. Practicing gratitude, being grateful, has so many psychological and physical effects. Researchers have found that gratitude may be the most important strength for our individual well-being and for our relationships with other people. Mm. I could talk on and on, but in brief, grateful people tend to have more robust health, greater emotional being. They tend to be more successful in their workplace. And when tragedies or health issues happen, which they do in life, they tend to bounce back better. And if they're not, let's say, healthy, having the grateful attitude helps them to take steps to make improvements regardless of their situation instead of just giving up.
And I think it's, I agree with that. I think it's really important to think about gratitude as a practice.
Yeah.
So we sometimes think about, you know, Thanksgiving as the one time in the year when we're grateful, which is kind of like going to the gym one day a year and hoping to, you know. So I hope that this is a reminder, but also a beginning of a practice. I was just so inspired by what Michael said. You know, even in difficult times, if you have that practice of noticing things to be grateful for, that can really help us whether we're having beautiful days or tough days.
Yeah. And speaking of that, I want to bring in a caller. We have Sarah, who is in remission from cancer. And we're talking about that. Sarah, you're on Studio 2. Tell us your story of gratitude.
So last year at this time, I was just starting chemotherapy for breast cancer. And today I'm in the kitchen making turkey, having my whole family. And I'm so grateful for my health. And I'm grateful for all my friends and family that supported me throughout this year. It's overwhelming sometimes to realize that the people that love you, and people don't get the chance to know that people love them. And I feel like cancer gave me that gift. I feel like cancer gave me more than it took, in that it gave me that opportunity to know how many people love me and support me. That's pretty profound. Wow. So thanks for letting me tell you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
That was beautiful.
Sarah,
thank you, Sarah.
What a beautiful thing to, so can you talk, can you first of all respond to what Sarah had to say? And when you're going through things like cancer, I can't even imagine, how do you find that space? How do you find that moment, that thing that sort of helps you see past the pain you may be going through to the gratitude?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, Sarah, thank you for sharing your story with us, and what a moving experience. And oftentimes we think about something like cancer or some other trauma or tragedy as being disruptive in a merely negative way. And people like Sarah finding ways, or Michael as well, finding ways of being grateful. Gratitude is one of those things that can help us in those moments.
Yeah.
Because a cancer diagnosis is deeply disruptive.
Yeah.
It doesn't only bring negative things, though. And if we can be attuned to the positive elements, like Sarah was, the connections that she had, the real strong friendships and support comes out even more strongly in those times of difficulty.
Yeah, it was like Sarah realized, in, because of her travails, that there were all these people who support her, who love her. And it's amazing she had the perspective to notice that while going through, you know, cancer treatment.
I feel like she is the epitome of the definition that I like the best by a leading gratitude researcher, Bob Emmons. He studied it for decades, worked with a lot of patients who were overcoming like hardships and things like cancer and other illnesses. And he describes gratitude, or his definition is, an affirmation of the good and the recognition that that good lies outside ourselves. So in a nutshell, it's gratitude's about other people. It's not about us.
Yeah.
So focusing on what they are doing, you know, their contribution to our lives. And I thought it was really beautiful what she shared.
Yeah. Wow. If you want to join the conversation, share with us, what are you grateful for? If you have tips on finding space to find joy, to find that gratitude, call us 888-477-9499 or email studio2@whyy.org. You want to bring in another caller here?
Let's do it.
I know.
Anson from Collegeville is on line two. Anson, you're on Studio 2. Tell us what you're grateful for.
I am grateful for my family. Many times my family has helped me with many things when I felt out down and I couldn't do it.
Anson, tell me, do you have something that you can point to that your family helped you with?
So when we go out to eat at, like, we go to this eating place, my family helps me choose what to eat for breakfast sometimes in the morning.
I love
that. Could be tricky because you got the pancakes, you got the waffles, you know, maybe you go eggs. Mm-hmm. I love that. Anson from Collegeville.
And Anson,
so
how old are you, Anson?
I'm about eight.
All
eight
right.
Years old.
I love it.
Words of wisdom about breakfast choosing from 8-year-old Anson in Collegeville. That was great.
What I love about gratitude is that sometimes you can be grateful for big things like surviving cancer, but also small things. Like your family helping you to choose breakfast, or just, you know, we were talking about this before the show, yeah, just having a really soft pillow. Can you talk about the different types of gratitude? Because sometimes if things are not going right, Susie, sometimes you got to start super small.
Absolutely. Well, it's a shift in mindset. So taking the focus off ourselves, and as I mentioned, looking at other people. And even in the toughest times, the most grateful people could find something, even if it's really, really small, like you mentioned, the pillow, or maybe your cup of coffee that morning. Or the sunshine. And researchers have found the more we focus and shift our attention mm-hmm. on the little things, it's like compounded interest. It builds and builds.
Let me talk about some of the little things that people mm-hmm. are shouting out. Maybe not so little to those folks, but, you know, more along those lines. So Pam says, I'm grateful for the beautiful trees on Woodbine Avenue. The trees on one street, right?
Look, she got specific. I love it.
I love that. I want to go on Woodbine Avenue now. I want to look at these trees. I have a little thing that I'm grateful for. It's kind of along those lines. It's like a city landscape thing. Curb cuts. I never appreciated curb cuts until, you know, I had a kid and, you know, I'm using the stroller all the time. And I realized, like, I don't know when in time someone decided to create curb cuts, but it really helps a lot of people get around every day. People who are, you know, mobility impaired and things like that. And I've had a new appreciation for the fact that, and you think about it, it's like everywhere.
Yeah.
Every city you go to, we've all engaged in this project together of making it a little easier for people to get around with this little dip in the curb.
So I think that's a hugely important point of, you know, kind of one of the things that gratitude helps us do is not take things for granted.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to point out that Anson, you know, 8 years old calling in, typically gratitude doesn't necessarily kick in that young.
Yes.
Typically we're
Anson's
the ones
advanced.
Saying to 8-year olds,
yeah,
you know,
thankful.
Be thankful. Right. So the fact that he voluntarily called in with that gratitude, I think, yeah, he's a kind of a gratitude
savant.
Savant, exactly. So that was really beautiful to see. And then I would say again that, you know, just this morning, for example, I'm a migraine sufferer. And so this morning I started getting a migraine aura. And so I took medication that I have that was prescribed to me to counteract that. Now, I don't know who developed the medication. I don't know what process was gone. I don't know who volunteered to sign up for the studies to make sure that that medication was rendered effective and so forth. It would be easy for me just to grab that pill and put it in my mouth and benefit from it.
Yeah.
But when I stopped to think about the enormous numbers of people involved in preparing that pill for me to take at that moment,
yeah,
boy, it makes you grateful, right?
It really does. It really does.
And join our conversation. The number is 888-477-9499. You can also email studio2@whyy.org. I just want to say what I'm grateful for, because I love to laugh. Laughter is medicine. And Cindy emails, I'm grateful for fun, silliness, humor, jokes, beauty, music. And I always say this to our Studio 2 crew here. I have a belly laugh at least once a day, thanks to our team. And it really makes working here so much more enjoyable. And I think you don't think about the laughs, right? That how much they can relieve tension, how much they can relieve stress, and how much something so small, like a nice, well-placed joke, can change the course of your day.
Cherry, can I say something about dad jokes?
Yes, please tell me about that.
So please tell a few.
I would tell you a joke about roofs, but I think it might go over your head.
There's a belly laugh, by the way. Yes.
Our son is going to be dying now, especially if his 14-year-old friends are listening.
The great thing about dad jokes is they don't even have to be good, right? So my parents are visiting me. My mom is 90 years old. My dad is 89. They're visiting us from Ohio for Thanksgiving. And this morning at breakfast, my dad tried a joke. Uh-huh. It turns out it was so bad, my mom just lost it. She was like, you know, she's heard a lot of his jokes, and it was really on the bed. And we all were just chortling over this attempted joke that was, you know, so bad it was hilarious. So it doesn't necessarily even have to be, you know, comic level.
A good joke. Yeah.
Doesn't have to be good. But I bet this call is going to be good. Let's bring in Gilda on line 3, who has something to be grateful for. Gilda, you're on Studio 2. What are you grateful for?
I am grateful that in 1967, God had put my mother, a single parent living in Haiti, in touch with a Jewish family who sponsored my oldest sister. And they in turn sponsored my mother, who then enabled the rest of our family to come here from Haiti in 1969. I have been living here legally. We came in legally, and we've been living here legally for 55 years. And I'm just so grateful that there are people out there who understand the plight of immigrants in this country and who are willing to help. It's not always a negative story, but there is so much that we immigrants are grateful for, but few people are aware of.
Yeah.
And this is here that I have worked at a university. I earned 3 degrees, and my sister, who's 75 years old, is living here now and recently became a citizen. And, you know, and I'm a mother of 4 and a grandmother of 6. It has been such a blessing to be able to come in here as an immigrant and live the American dream. It's not perfect, but it is a blessing.
Yeah.
And God had opened that door, and I give God the glory for that.
Thank you, Gilda.
Well, because if it wasn't for him touching the hearts of people, then we wouldn't be here. So thank you so much for allowing me to share my story.
We're so glad you did.
Thank you, Gilda. We're grateful
that you shared, and we're grateful that you're here. And Eric from Drexel Hill has a very similar comment. Eric's an immigrant and says that he's grateful for our country and God bless America. So thank you to Eric and to Gilda for sharing those stories.
Yeah, we want to bring in, we have some clips. Our producers went out and talked to folks. We have Mary Grochi, who's 74 from Philadelphia, who lives at the John C. Anderson Apartments in Center City, Philadelphia. And she's going to share what she's grateful for.
I'm processing a lot. Everything from the election to a new grandson that just arrived recently. It's a lot to process, and I'll admit I've been very down about the election results and what that means for us. But I'm also grateful for many things, for my partner, Suze. We've had 30 years together and counting on many more, and also for health and our home here. It's full of friends, and we really enjoy the community here and are very grateful for it. So there's a lot to be grateful for, and that really helps counter the anxiety that seems to go hand in hand with it these days.
Love that from Mary.
I love that, yeah.
Here's an email from Laura, who says, almost every day I'm grateful and amazed at this Earth is the perfect distance from the sun for life to exist here, that a thin layer of atmosphere exists at all and keeps us safe and contained on this planet, that we have oxygen to breathe, thanks largely to microscopic organisms in the ocean, in addition to the plants on the Earth that allow life to exist here as we know it. We talked earlier about being grateful for little things like the trees on one street. Mm-hmm. And there, now Laura's going like universal with it. Like, how miraculous is it that we're here at all? Sometimes I find it actually hard to step back and appreciate that. But when I read it the way Laura put it, it really does strike a chord. Talk about big gratitude.
Yeah, I mean, then the more we learn about the world and our place in it, the more cause we can have for gratitude. So part of what I love about this feast that we're having today is, again, gratitude is so robust. It like can come up in a lot of different perspectives. At the worst time of our lives, it can sustain us. At the best time of our lives, it can help us to celebrate. When we're looking at the small things, it can help us to keep things from taking things for granted. And when we look at the big things, and the more we learn about, I mean, look, if somebody said to me, do you think that human life would work? Like, bet yes or no. I'd be like, no, there's no
way.
It's too complicated. Yeah. There's too much that could go wrong. And yet here we are, right? It's really extraordinary.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. Beautiful. Did you have something to add, Susie?
I was just going to say, we just have to remember to do it. Like James mentioned, like the gym, the exercise. And as you all mentioned, there's large things, there's little things, there's so much. We just have to make it a priority and wake up each day and think, what am I grateful for? And start small. And then, I mean, you could continue forever. There's so many things. And focusing on the other people in our lives, right? Without the other people, there wouldn't be inventions. James mentioned with the migraine, the pill, doctors in our lives, construction workers, people building bridges, teachers. There's always something or someone to be grateful in our lives if we just shift our attention and focus on it.
Yeah, I want to bring in another caller. You can join the conversation, by the way, 888-477-9499 or email studio2@whyy.org. We'd love to hear what you are grateful for. And Matt is from Northern Delaware. He's on the line. Matt, we want to hear what you're grateful for. You're on Studio 2. Share your story.
Sure. Thanks for having me on. I'm grateful for being on. So I would say that I think we just got to go back to some basics. I think that every cloud has a silver lining. I think that we need a little bit more hope and faith in each other. And I don't mean faith in religious angles, more of just we need to believe in each other and what we're capable of. And we're capable of great things. We've come so far. We've done so many great and amazing, beautiful things, and we forget about it. And we forget ourselves within the sauce.
Yeah.
It's time to kind of pull ourselves out and think a little bit, you know?
Yeah, thank you so much. That's Matt from Northern Delaware. And that goes to my question to both you, Susie and James. You know, how can expressing gratitude to your friends, their families, to your coworkers, how does that help your relationship? Because a lot of times you take people you work with who do things they're supposed to do for granted.
Absolutely. And I think many of us might feel grateful for our partners or our friends, but we forget to express it. Yeah. And I like to say, nobody is a mind reader. They haven't found really legitimate mind readers. So we have to express it. That's the first step. It's not enough just to feel grateful. So then I express the gratitude, but how do I express it, right? If I'm just focusing on me or the gift, that's not really good. So if I'm expressing my gratitude to my husband, James, here, who does many great things, what is it about James that I'm grateful for?
Yeah.
So it's much better to focus on his specific actions, his strengths. If he gave me a gift, it's not bad to say thank you for that wonderful jacket. I love it. But how much better to say, I really appreciate your thoughtfulness. You know, I'm always cold. I outgrew my coat. It's your thoughtfulness I see every day with your students at Penn, with our son. It's that thoughtfulness of yours that makes you such a great, you know, colleague, a great son. So now I'm shifting the attention from myself and the benefit to me to James's personality and what makes James James.
Totally.
I love that.
Totally. By the way, give us a call, 888-477-9499. We're coming up on a break here, but we want to hear this hour what you are grateful for. Let's read in a couple more from our listeners. Here's one from Joan, who says, last year I adopted a Native American daily prayer of gratitude to the four elements: air, water, earth, and sun. It's a wonderful way to start each day. It puts my mind in the direction of attention and thankfulness for things we often overlook and take for granted. Lou says, what to be thankful for? How about a big positive turn in my health? After 3 years of real ugliness, I have lost 35 pounds and can walk 2 miles on a flat surface. I'll spend the winter getting ready to be able to hike in the mountains next spring. Something like this doesn't happen without all of the good people all around me.
I just love that. I mean, when you go through something, and I always say this to myself, if something bad happens, I always wonder how it can be turned into a good thing and what blessings can flow from that, right? It, you know, just overcoming, you know, this thing, it builds that strength, it builds that community, and it tells you you can get through, right?
Yeah, and it turns out that bad is stronger than good in the sense that if you have one thing that happens to you that's bad in the day and one thing that's good, what are you going to be thinking about when you're going to sleep?
Bad, right?
Which means we need to focus on the good things intentionally. And fortunately, many more good things happen to us than bad things. And so in relationships or just in our internal lives, it's really important. That's why it's important to make this a practice so that we don't get overwhelmed by the headlines or that one thing that happened
and balance it out. And we just heard that listener talking about starting the day with that. And that's that's a good way to get the train on the gratitude track.
Exactly.
So we do have a break coming up. Giving out the number one more time, 888-477-9499. Tell us what you're grateful for on Studio 2 today. We'll be right back after a brief break. I'm grateful for pronunciation, by the way. you're listening to Studio 2 on WHYY.
No matter what happens in Washington, the NPR Politics Podcast is here for you. For the latest news, insights, and analysis from the election and beyond, listen to the NPR Politics Podcast.
Welcome back to Studio 2. I'm Cherry Gregg. Before we get back to our conversation today about gratitude, we want to shout out our next Studio 2 on the Road event.
That's why you're hearing that Christmas music.
Uh-huh.
We're calling this event Studio 2 All-Time Great Holiday Movie Spectacular Extravaganza.
What a name, right? I love it. And it's happening Friday afternoon on December 13th, 3 o'clock at the historic Newtown Theater in Bucks County.
Cherry and I will be joined by two other panelists as we play clips from holiday movies, debate our favorites, and then crown a champion with the help of a live audience.
I hope we have a real crown. I really do. I hope we do. Yes. We need one.
Amazon.
I know. I love a crown. We'll also have a live band playing holiday tunes and adult beverages and refreshments will be flowing.
It's a free event, but you got to register right now at whyy.org/events. We would love to see you there.
Yeah, and we want to hear from you ahead of the event. What's the best holiday movie of all time? You can email us, studio2@whyy.org, and give us your pick. The top vote getter will automatically make the final round at the event.
Now let's get back to this holiday, the one that hasn't even happened yet, by the way. We're already playing Christmas music.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about gratitude. We're hearing from you, our listeners, this hour about what you're grateful for. And I want to remind you, at home, participation is very much encouraged this hour. Pick up the phone. The number is 888-477-9499. You can also email your thoughts of gratitude to studio2@whyy.org.
And let me reintroduce our experts with a gratitude attitude. We have James Pawelski, a professor and director of education at the University of Pennsylvania's Positive Psychology Center. We also have Psychology Today writer Susie Pileggi Pawelski. They co-authored the book Happy Together, Using the Science of Positive Psychology to Build Love That Lasts.
Can I say one more thing I'm grateful for? Can I get back to my list? I found myself feeling very grateful this year for holiday lights. And I always like holiday lights, but they're starting to go up. And for whatever reason this year, the darkness that comes this time of year that really encroaches after we transition out of daylight saving, it was hitting me hard for those first couple of weeks. I was like, man, it's tough to walk out of work. It's already dark. And the last few days, I've started to see those lights come up. And it takes a dark world and it gives it a little pop. And there's and you need the darkness to have the light. And I was just appreciating that a lot, especially the last couple days walking, biking home. Holiday lights. Always love them, but this year I'm really, really loving them.
Yeah, they're a big thing when you have to ride home on the bike. Yeah, yeah. In the evening. I want to bring in another caller. We have Alyssa from Hamilton, New Jersey. Alyssa, you're on Studio 2. What are you grateful for?
So I am grateful for NAMI, the National Alliance for Mental Illness. I have a son who has severe mental illness, and I found this wonderful support group. And just to be able to talk to people who are going through similar, you know, experiences that I am and get their advice and their experiences and be able to be open about what's really happening and how I really feel without being judged. It's just a very wonderful experience for me, and I've made friends and I feel so supported. They also have great education, and it's just changed my life to be able to feel strong and able to, you know, continue to do what I need to do to support my son.
Yeah, thank you so much, Alyssa from Hamilton, New Jersey. Grateful for community. I mean, community, I mean, we experience, my whole life has changed since COVID, and I'm so grateful for that, because during COVID, I mean, a lot of people lost their community. They were isolated, and I think folks forgot how much we need each other. Can you talk about that, Susie? How just being around other people, having those positive reinforcements and that mm-hmm. support can be life-changing.
Community is key to our well-being. Without other people, it just, you know, no man is an island. Research has found over and over again, it's our strong social connections. Mm. It's our relationships. It's our real life relationships. With social media, it's not how many friends or likes, it's in person. We know there physiologically we change just by looking at each other. There's a whole science behind that, how we mimic one another. There's changes in our body going on when we really connect and feel like somebody gets us, and like the wonderful caller who just talked about, the people who support us. So I would say, of anything, focus on building strong friendships. Ideally, having like three people you can call in the middle of the night, no matter what. Research has found if you have three people, no matter what time, you know he or she's going to be there for you, it bodes really well for your well-being.
I think this is really crucial, especially since last year the U.S. Surgeon General, Dr. Vivek yeah. Murthy, had guidance that we're in an epidemic of loneliness and social mm-hmm. isolation. So one of the things that gratitude can help us do is to get out of our own selves, yes. out of our own yes. individual little bubbles, and connect deeply and authentically with others. So I'm a professor. I like to give assignments. Mm. The listeners are not my students, so this is going to be an optional assignment. But my assignment is to find a way of expressing and listening to expressions of gratitude authentically with someone beyond your own community. Kind of extend your connections a little bit through gratitude.
I like to think that we've created something of a community here at Studio 2.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I don't want to pat myself on the back too much, but Joanne does say, I'm grateful for all you bring, talking
Aww.
About us,
Aww.
To our beloved WHYY, your energy, your concern for our city, your accessibility to the listening community. Thank you. Thank you so much, Joanne. Vicky says, grateful for WHYY in Studio 2, and
thank
Beatrice
you,
says the same. Joanne, Vicky, Beatrice, thank you so much, and we hope to continue to build this community here.
Yeah, because that's Absolutely. What it's all about, and that's why we do our On the Road series as well.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. absolutely. Mm-hmm. Let's bring in another caller now. This is Casey from Alney. Casey, you're on Studio 2. What are you grateful for?
I am especially grateful for two things. One is Philly has sidewalks. I learned how important those are because when I was burned out of my house, I had to spend 1 year in Bucks County where there were no sidewalks, and they forbid on the roads from having people walk or ride a bike. The second thing I'm thankful for is my wonderful family who took care of me during the year it took for my house to be rehabbed, and I thank them very, very much. every holiday. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Aww, thank you, Casey.
Wow, what a 1-2 punch from Casey. I know. That was awesome.
That had me tearing up a little bit with the family, you know, helping through rehab. That was a struggle, I'm sure. But to have family supporting you, amazing, amazing. We even have more. Let's read a few more. We have an email from Marisol. We talked about community. We talked about friends. Marisol says, I am so grateful for my long distance, long time Australian Skype friend, Polly. When she knew she was dying, she spent months making sure that her husband and I would know each other well after she died. And she let us know very clearly that if more happened, she approved. What? Okay, Polly. Well, he and I have been together for several years at this point. We plan to get married. It's an understatement to say I'm grateful for Polly. So Marisol was able to find love through her friend. I mean, that is such a good story. Roundabout story about finding love through a friend. I mean,
a lot to unpack there, but thank you for the email, Marisol.
A lot,
and,
yes.
People have really been so earnest this hour.
And sharing
and they've shared all sorts of things from their lives, so I appreciate that a lot. I got to read this email from Alexis. This is great. I had James Pawelski as a professor at Albright College in the 90s.
Oh, what?
He taught a course called Applied Pragmatism, and both the syllabus and the instructor inspired gratitude in spades.
Yes.
It's hard not to be grateful when you have a college class that begins each day with a dance session. James, dance session?
I'm tearing up over here. Alexis, it's so great to hear from you. Yeah, back in the day, 20 years ago, I had a class at Albright College where we tried to practice the aspects of well-being. And of course, you know, typically you go into a class and you sit down and you wait for the instructor to come in and you try to keep from falling asleep. No, we started with dance, and the students brought in the music, and we really, you know, and so we talked about and put into practice the kinds of things like gratitude that support our well-being. So that was a huge gift to me after all these years that, you know, you put things out there, you have these times as an instructor and a professor, and when your students remember and continue to live that out, nothing can be better than that.
I just want to say, maybe we need to start our Studio 2 sessions with a dance session.
You don't want to see me dancing. You don't want, but Alexis, by the way, if I have the right Alexis, we don't have last names here on our screen, but Alexis, I believe, is a regular listener and an excellent commenter, always mm-hmm. leaves these great comments. So I'm giving you a little credit for that, James.
Wow.
You must have inspired Alexis to open up
cool
to the
class.
World. Let's bring in Bob now from Millville, New Jersey. We are winding down here on this hour of Studio 2, but I do think we have time for Bob in Millville. Bob, what are you grateful for?
So I'm grateful for many unions that I belong to in my life. They have helped me to have a decent living and get benefits and get what I deserve as a worker, and looked out for me against management occasionally when things weren't done exactly right. And I'm also grateful I ended up being a union president, and I'm grateful for the members who supported me and helped me help them.
That's great.
Wow.
Thank you so much, Bob. Grateful for labor unions. Mm-hmm. How about this email from Katie?
Yes.
I've been doing online dating for a year and a half and have been on dates with lots of guys, but now I've found my needle in a haystack. I'm so grateful for his kindness, steadiness, positive outlook, and willingness to do new things. It's still new, but we make a great pair. Katie and her needle
that.
In a haystack.
You know what? I want to throw in something I'm grateful for right now, because I got engaged this year.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. And I this is my second time around, and I feel like I found the perfect partner for me. And it's such a blessing because, you know, you go like Katie. It's a needle in a haystack, and when you're over 35, the needles are bent, dusty, and nasty, okay?
I'm with
bent,
you.
Bent, dusty, and rusty, let me tell you.
Lord.
And so to find one that works is a beautiful thing, and so, yes.
I got to stick up for the guys over 35 on this show. Keep doing your thing.
So you do feel very, grateful for that, and it transforms your life in such a positive way. So I had to say thank you to Jamie and he did a wonderful, you know, job with his proposal. So anyway, I'm very grateful for that.
I know Jamie, and I can tell you, he is a great needle.
Yes.
And now... I wasn't even going to get into family, but of course, you know, I'm so grateful.
I know.
For my partner, for my kid, for my family. And, you know, it almost goes without saying, but as you guys mentioned, we should say it. Because if it goes without saying and you never say it,
absolutely. Some people don't know. We found in a lot of the couples we talked to when we were writing Happy Together, sadly, I remember this one couple, they were together 25 years. They ended up breaking up. And the wife said, I just never felt that he appreciated me. Mm-hmm. And he did, but it was too little too late. Yep. So please express the gratitude to your partners, to your friends, your family, your community support groups. People don't necessarily know how you feel if you're not telling them.
And there are a lot of ways of expressing it, too. Totally. So verbally is a great way of doing it. You can show them, taking them to a particular place, giving them time, attention, focusing in on what is most likely to connect with that person will make it most likely that your expression of gratitude will really land.
And you're starting to hear our Studio 2 DJ of the Day selection. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks suggested Kind and Generous by Natalie Merchant, a great choice. But we actually went with your former student, James. Alexis.
Alexis.
Excellent.
Who picked this amazing song by Ben Folds called The Luckiest. Let's hear a bit of The Luckiest by Ben Folds.
Now I know all the wrong turns and stumbles and falls brought me here.
And we will close our show now. Got some goosebumps going on.
I know. Thank you. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much to James Pawelski, as well as to Susie Pileggi Pawelski for bringing your gratitude attitude and for providing all the advice today. Thank you so much. And that was a treat for you, James, having a former student.
Really an extraordinary delight. Thank you, Alexis. And thanks to all of the callers and both of you to allowing us to come in and you know, get ready for Thanksgiving like this.
Yes.
It was terrific.
And thanks to our producers, Debbie, Paige Andreas, Diana, engineer, Kevin, executive producer. And thank you to all of our listeners. We'll talk with you next week.